Did you come expecting?
Yes.
Yeah, those that get thrilled with the word, it works for them.
Yes.
Got to stay thrilled, right?
Yes.
With the thing that works for our lives. And the word of God is a main ingredient that we need as believers in our lives. So we're going to open up with prayer and get started this morning. Father, we come before your presence this morning with gratitude, thanksgiving, thanking you that you sent your word, you healed us and delivered us from all our destruction, that your word is life, it's healing, it's medicine to all our flesh. We're so grateful and thankful to you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and took our place. He became our sickness and disease substitute. And for that, we're forever grateful. He became our sin substitute, and for that, we're forever grateful. This morning, I welcome the mighty Holy Spirit in this place, who's the great teacher and the great revealer of all truth today. He brings illumination and revelation into the heart of each listener that's wanting to grasp this and understand this, bringing that enlightenment and understanding. We thank you for these things. I ask that you grant me utterance in the Holy Ghost today, thinking through my thoughts, speaking through my lips your words that bring life. In the name of Jesus, we give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. You're most worthy of all the praise, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, a couple of weeks ago, what was it, April the 8th, we started a series called Instantaneous or Process. And, you know, everything that is supernatural, we found out what isn't always instantaneous. Let me say that again. Everything that is supernatural isn't always instantaneous. I'm going back to a statement that Brother Hagin made, and that's Kenneth E. Hagin, who's going on to heaven, but while he was here, the Lord used him to teach the body of Christ about healing and wholeness and their stand in Christ, being in Christ and what it means. And he made this statement, and he said, because healing is not always instantaneous, many people lose the beginning of their healing. Think about that now. I'm going to say that again. Because healing is not always instantaneous, many people lose the beginning of their healing because they don't know that. Miracles or healing miracles are instantaneous. They happen immediately. There's no progression. Yeah. Instantaneous. And we found out that God can minister to us and reach us at our faith level, and whether our faith produces an instantaneous healing or a process healing, right, we need to learn to accept them both. Yeah. Both of them. We need to learn how to meet God's power or ability or help. We got a part to do. It's not just on all of God. It's all of Him. I'm just waiting. We're just waiting on Him. No. He's waiting on you and I. Why? Because faith simply takes God at His word. We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. But faith is released through our words and our actions. Acting like the word is true. So eventually, when you become persuaded by the word of God, because you truly believe the word of God, you have accepted the word of God as your final answer, and not all these other things. In case this don't work, then I'll go here. In case that don't work, then I might. No, it's learning to take God at His word and the word of God being your final answer. Letting the word of God become your primary focus, not your secondary focus. What you give your attention to, your desire will follow, obviously. The Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth is going to speak. What we give our attentions to, our desire will follow. And the Bible tells us that we need to renew our minds because our minds did not get saved when we were born again. We received a new spirit, a brand new heart with a brand new start on the inside. You will your spirit man was brand new, recreated, to build just like God. Hallelujah. And everything that you need is in your heart, in your spirit, and you're learning to draw from the inside and work it on the outside, because this outward man, the flesh, the body, the physical body, did not get saved. Neither did your mind, but it's our responsibility to do something with our bodies. And we know it tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, that we're to what? Offer our bodies as a living sacrifice unto God, which is our spiritual worship, that we may what? Know how to accept His good, perfect will for our lives. Yeah. Offer our bodies. This is a continual process all the time, that we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice unto God. Because your body would want to try to persuade you and tell you or control you into believing what you can see and feel and not into what God has said. But if we take the time, like the Bible tells us, and we renew our minds, like it tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, on a continual basis, be thou renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is continually renewing our mind with the Word of God. This is the only thing that is going to produce the God kind of faith, the Word of God. Everything you'll hear outside of this book doesn't produce the God kind of faith. Now, there are good books that you can read by great authors and ministers, absolutely. They inspire your faith. They don't give you faith, but they inspire your faith. Absolutely, that will always help you too. But the Bible is the only book that can produce and give you the God kind of faith. And this is what we should be feeding on and wanting to feed on, because the Bible tells us that we should want to have, in 1 Thessalonians, we should want to have exceedingly growing faith. Yes. That all of us, at the time of our born-again experience, when we received Jesus Christ as our Savior, we all received a measure, Romans 12:3, of the God kind of faith. We all were given the same amount. But it's up to each one of us what we do with that amount that's been given us. And that's why you find from that point in the believers' lives, people on different levels according to how much they have developed their faith, applied their faith, used their faith, exercised their faith. Because if you don't do anything with what you've been given when it comes to the God kind of faith, then it will just lay dormant there in your life. But it's up to you and I to do something with the faith that's been given us, a measure of the God kind of faith. Faith can be increased by our hearing and our applying or doing the word, like it tells us in James chapter 1, verse 22. The doers of the word, they are blessed in their deeds. Those that act on what God has been saying or has said. So we found out, instantaneous or process, we need to learn to meet God's power, ability, or help, and that the moment that you do believe or are persuaded or fully persuaded in your heart that what God has said is true for you, that very moment when you release your faith and you believe that you receive, you need to count a death blow struck at that very moment at the thing that you've been believing or standing against or believing God for. At that very moment when you release your faith, a death blow was struck. Count it. A death blow was struck at that sickness, disease, weakness, illness, whatever, bad report, at that very moment of your believing. And, you know, I shared this the last time, but I like to keep bringing it up because many times we think the moment that we release our faith, at that very given moment, that we should see or feel something. But we're finding out just because we don't see or feel something doesn't mean something isn't happening. That we have to keep, we're learning to what? Keep the switch of faith turned on by believing you have received your healing, and you what? You use your mouth, because your mouth is the speech center, is the dominion center of our lives. That's why the devil tries to get in there and mess your talking up. But if we realize that, then we will be what James tells us in chapter 1 about being slow to speak, slow to wrath, but quick to listen. Slow to speak. Why? In other words, we need to be very careful about what we say. And think about it before we speak it. Is this producing life? What did it tell us? Proverbs 18:21. Death and life. Death and life are in the power of our tongues. So your tongue can produce life in your situation, or it can produce the opposite. Death in your situation. It's up to you. I shared this example about when Jesus was with his disciples, and they came upon a fig tree, and it had leaves on it, and Jesus cursed it because it didn't have no figs on it. And the disciples went on, and Jesus began to give them a lesson on faith, and he told them, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith, Mark chapter 11, verse 21, 22, 23. And he said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things that he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So in that verse alone, in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, because 21 is have the God kind of faith. But in that verse alone, speaking is mentioned three times. Saying, saying, saying. And so it's so vital to our faith. Faith has an attitude and an action. Believing is the attitude. Speaking is the action. So when he cursed that fig tree and the disciples went on, they saw Jesus curse the fig tree. They heard what Jesus did to that fig tree. That he spoke to it. It was out loud. He didn't whisper it. He didn't just think it up. No, he spoke to the tree, and the tree heard him, and it responded. Because the next day when they came back by, the disciples noticed it. They said, hey, Master, look, the tree that you cursed is withered up. Something's happened. Well, something happened the very moment when Jesus spoke to the fig tree and gave it the command of faith when he cursed it. Underground, we could not see that part, but immediately the roots began to wither and dry up and die. Yes. And then the next day it began to affect what you could see on top the ground. But immediately when Jesus spoke the command of faith to that fig tree heard it and it responded. It's the same way in our own lives. When it comes to our faith, and we begin speaking because we're releasing our faith, because we're believing with our faith, that you may not see or feel any difference for a while. But it's not about seeing or feeling, because remember, your body is the shell for your spirit man, your inward man. It's about what you're believing and saying, truly believing and saying, consistently, truly believing with your heart, saying with your mouth, believing with your heart, saying with your mouth on a continual basis. Not one minute you're talking about the symptoms and the lies, and oh, you're stepping over here, then you're talking about, well, the Bible says by his stripes I'm healed. Then you step over here and you talk about what the doctor says, that this, they have no cure for it, Pastor Debbie. Well, guess what? The doctors or the medical field may not have a cure for it, but God has already provided a cure for it. His name is Jesus, and he already took it in your place. You need to learn to begin to see it on him where he bore it for you in your place. Every pain, every lying symptom, all of it, see it on him, laid on him. It was laid on him. He took it for you, and he carried your pains away. Hallelujah. So when we learn to accept both of these, whether it's instantaneous or a process, we're learning to meet the power and the ability of God. And I wanted to add something to it this week. Something here that John G. Lake said, and he was apostle of faith in South Africa, and God used him with many great signs, wonders, and miracles in his time, but he's also going on to heaven. But he made this statement, John G. Lake did. He said, sometimes instant healings can be a hindrance to us. What, Pastor Debbie? He said, sometimes instant healings can be a hindrance to us because some people, not everybody, some people, they get healed, they go away, and they forget God.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah.
They get healed instantly, they go away, and they forget God. He said he believed that people who are gradually healed can see that they get better and better and better as they walk with God and walk in God, and that knowledge becomes an invaluable wealth to them.
Wow.
That's powerful. I'm going to say that again. He says, but the people that get gradually healed, instantaneous or gradually, but we're looking at gradually healed, can see that they get better and better and better as they walk with God and walk in God, and that knowledge, here's the knowledge right here, knowledge becomes an invaluable wealth to them. Why? Because they're learning to live by faith and not by sight. Brother Hagin made this statement. He said, because healing is not always instantaneous, people lose the beginning of their healing. So we're learning to what? Believe that we have received our healing once we've been persuaded by the Word of God. And that comes by spending time renewing your mind with God's Word concerning healing. Meditation. Meditation moves the information to revelation where it becomes application in your life. We need it to move from information to revelation where it drops down in your heart, in your spirit. All of a sudden you might, it becomes quickened to you, made alive to you, real to you, down in your heart, in your spirit. You begin to see. Also, the Word of God can paint pictures of your healing and wholeness, and you'll begin to see yourself healed and whole first inwardly, because it all begins in our heart, in our spirit. It paints a picture. If you're not seeing yourself healed and whole yet, then you keep meditating, keep meditating, keep meditating on the Word of God. And we found out that what meditation in the Bible is a good thing.
Yeah.
Muttering it over and over and over to yourself,
yeah.
Thinking on it, dwelling on it, speaking it out loud, saying, this is me, this is what I have, this is who I am, this is what I have. According to the Word of God, that's me. I am the healed of the Lord. I am the redeemed of the Lord. I say so, as Psalms 107 verse 2 says, let the redeemed say so. God ain't going to say it for you. He's already said it right there for you. And he's waiting for you to take it from there and put it in your heart and believe it and act on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when we release our faith and we begin to say we believe we receive our healing, and then you can say, I believe God's healing power is what? Actively at work in my body, perfecting a cure and wholeness.
Yeah.
This is when you're not talking about the sickness and disease and what the doctors say. You're talking about healing and wholeness. I believe I have received my healing. I believe the healing power of God is actively at work in my body, perfecting a cure and wholeness.
Yeah.
It's amazing, those words, when you continue to, when you believe it and you're continuing to speak it, how it sets the direction of your body. Because your body is going to respond to your voice. Your body was uniquely made. It was designed by God, created by God. But the speech center is something about that speech center. And I've shared this before, but Dr. Paul Youngie Cho, when they did the test on the brain, they touched the left side of the brain, the right side of the body responded. They touched the right side of the brain, the left side of the body responded. But when they touched the speech center in the brain, the whole body responded. Amazing. So it's so important that your body is hearing your voice more than anybody else's, and you're speaking the right things over it. Because it's listening and it will respond.
It will.
It will. I'm telling you, it will.
It will.
And whether it's gradual or instantaneous, it's hearing you, especially when you believe it. And it's got to line up with it. So we can't look at the body, because it has to line up with what you're believing with your heart.
Yeah.
But the speech part is vitally important, what you're saying. On a continual basis. Those words released in this atmosphere because you believe those words. So they're faith-filled words, just like Jesus when he spoke to different things, whether it was death, whether it was a fig tree, whether it was disease. We talked about the three D's, death, demons, and disease. When he spoke to every single one of them, they responded to him. They do hear. They have to, especially the command of faith.
Yep, yep.
Faith demands a response.
It does.
So whether our bodies take a while before you see an outward manifestation, don't be moved by that. Well, Pastor Debbie, I don't know. It's been 2 weeks. It's all right. If your faith is truly in what God has spoken concerning you, your body will eventually line up. It has to. So we began to look at some examples in the Bible. We began to look at some gradual processes of healing in the Bible when Jesus was here on the earth. And we looked at the 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17. This is just a quick review in case you weren't here, or if you were here. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Can't hear it enough, right? So we talked about the 10 lepers, and when they saw Jesus from afar off, they began to, say something. Jesus, they got his attention. Jesus saw them, and he responded. What did he tell them? He said, go, show yourself to the priest. So Jesus gave them something to do with their believing in him. He said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, the Bible says, they were what? Cured of leprosy. But then we found out only one came back to give thanks and praise to God. And we found out that one didn't even have a covenant with God. Jesus said, where are the other nine? He said, it's good that one came, but Jesus was looking for all 10 of them to return and come back and give him thanks. But he said, according to your faith, you've been made whole. So we know that leprosy can eat different parts of your body off, your fingers, your toes, your nose, your ears. We don't know what body parts were missing on these 10 lepers. But we do know this one man that came back, and I love the Amplified because it says that he thanked him over and over and over again in Luke chapter 17. We'll turn there because it's just so beautiful. I don't think we understand quite, or we haven't grasped it enough, the power of our praise and thanksgiving. And in Luke chapter 17 here, starting at 12 through 19. But in verse 15, it says, "But then one of them, upon seeing that he was cured, turned back, recognizing and thanking and praising God with a loud voice." Verse 16, "He fell prostrate at Jesus' feet, thanking him over and over as he was a Samaritan." So you can just picture this in your mind. The moment he turned around and he ran back to Jesus, the one that had just set him free from leprosy, fell at his feet. That's a sign of worship and homage, of true humility.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Humility plays a big part. He humbled himself. He was humble and he gave thanks over and over, thanking him over and over.
Yeah.
And then Jesus said in verse 17, "Where are the 10? Were there not 10 that was cleansed?" But he told this man what? Verse 19, he said to him, "Get up, go on your way. Your faith, your trust, your confidence that spring from your belief in God has restored you." So now, if he had any body parts missing, guess what?
Yes.
They were immediately replaced. Hallelujah.
Wow.
Such power, such power, such power in thanksgiving.
Yes.
That's a good part of your releasing your faith. When you're praising God with thanksgiving, verbally, out loud, over and over and over again. Can't thank him enough. Can't praise him enough. "God, I just want to thank you. Lord, just thank you, thank you, thank you for healing me. I can't thank you enough." Yeah. So we found that out with the 10 lepers. So it was gradual, because as they went, they were what? Healed. Then we looked at the nobleman's son in John chapter 4. Turn there real quick. John chapter 4. And we found out that with the nobleman's son, and that was beginning in verse 46. With the nobleman's son, that Jesus just spoke something. The nobleman's son was like, verse 46, it says, "He came again to get Cana of Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine." One of the first miracles Jesus did. "And there was a certain royal official," or a nobleman, "whose son was lying ill in Capernaum. Having heard that Jesus had come back from Judea into Galilee, he went away to meet him, and he began to beg him to come down to cure his son, for he was lying at the point of death." So he wanted to see Jesus come to his house, lay hands on his son, and raise him up. Because Jesus, they had believed in Jesus because of what they were seeing Jesus do. Miracle healings, raising the dead, dealing with diseases, demons, casting out. And they had seen it, so they were like, "We got to have him wherever." And so that was where their faith was. But Jesus was trying to move them from sight into taking him at his word.
Yeah.
Just simply taking him at his word. So when Jesus, it says, "This man, he went away to meet him. He began to beg him, come down," this is verse 47, "to cure his son, for he was lying at the point of death." But verse 48, "Then Jesus said to him, unless you see signs and miracles happen, you people never will believe." He says, "Trust or have faith at all." But the king's officer pleaded with him, "Sir, do come down." He didn't get it. He said, "Sir, do come down at once before my little child is dead." Verse 50, Jesus answered him, "Go in peace. Your son will live." So he spoke the command of faith. He never went. He never laid hands on him. Nothing. He just spoke the command of faith and to see if that man would take him at his word.
Yeah.
Verse 51. Verse 50, it says, "And the man put his trust in what Jesus said and started home." There's his action in his faith.
Yeah.
He put his trust in and he started home immediately. He didn't question, "Jesus, what? I didn't see you. I gotta have you at my house." No. He's like, all right, you said that. I'm turning around. I'm heading home. Now look at this. Verse 50, and Jesus answered him, go in peace. Your son will live. And the man put his trust in what Jesus said and started home. Verse 51, but even as he was on the road going down, his servants met him and reported saying, your son lives. Hallelujah. Verse 52, so he asked them at what time he had begun to get better. They said, yesterday. Think about that. Here we go. Here's the process. Yesterday, during the seventh hour, about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the fever left him. Verse 53, then the father knew that it was at that very hour when Jesus had said to him, your son will live. How powerful is that? Your son will live. And he and his entire household believed, adhered to, trusted in, and relied on Jesus. Now look at this, verse 54. This is the second sign, wonder work, a miracle that Jesus performed after he had come out of the Judea into Galilee. The second sign that Jesus performed, and it was what? A gradual process healing. Gradual. It took time. It wasn't instantaneous. Imagine that. The second sign that Jesus performed, it was a process. Well, you know, Pastor Debbie, he's Jesus. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. Oh? Jesus goes where faith is. Faith brings Jesus right on the scene. Yeah. He's moved by faith. Yeah. If you want to move God, walk by faith. Without faith, what does it tell us in Hebrews 11:6? It's impossible to please God. For those that come to him must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who what diligently seek him. So powerful, so powerful. Yeah. And even think about this. In Mark chapter 16 and in verse 18, let's go there. Because this goes with the Great Commission. One of the last things that Jesus spoke to the church before he left and was caught back up into heaven, he told us, Mark chapter 16 and verse 18, he said, the believing ones, these signs will accompany, follow them. In verse 17, he said, these attesting signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak with new languages or tongues. They will pick up serpents. Even if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they what? They will recover. That's a process, isn't it? Yeah. He didn't say lay hands on the sick and miracle. No, he said they shall lay hands on the sick. First thing in our obedience is laying hands on the sick. Yeah. And it says that they will recover. Sure did. That's a process right there. So we can never put down or underestimate what God has spoken when he said it could be instantaneous. Healing could be instantaneous or a process. We need to learn to accept both and trust God. Whether it is instantaneous, then praise God. Thank God for it. Always keep that attitude of gratitude. Be thankful for him. Don't forget him. Don't go off and on your own thing and forget about God. No. Yeah. So he said that to the believing ones. Hallelujah. So let's begin to look at another example today in the Bible of a gradual process healing. Let's turn to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. And we're going to begin in verse 1, John chapter 9 and verse 1. And it says, as he passed along, he noticed a man blind from his birth. So this man was born blind. It wasn't something later on in his life where an accident happened or an injury or something. No, he was born blind. And his verse 2, his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind?" Well, neither his parents nor this man. We know it was Adam's sin from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden when Adam committed high treason against God and sold out to Satan, and Satan became the little g god of this world system. That's where sickness and disease come from. Remember, Satan is the author of sickness and disease, not God. You won't find any sickness and disease in heaven. There is none. And he said, on earth as it is in heaven, let it be done on earth as it is in heaven. He told us to, what, enforce Satan's defeat. Yeah. Remind him that he's already been defeated and that all of his works, when he was made the god of this world system, sickness, disease, poverty, lack, fear, all of that that came with it, it was already defeated.
Yes.
It was already conquered through Jesus' death, burial, resurrection. And we're enforcing that defeat on a continual basis. So this man, verse 3, Jesus answered, "It was not that this man or his parents sinned, but he was born blind in order that the workings of God should be manifested, displayed, and illustrated in him." Now hold on now. Jesus is not saying here that God made this man, made him born blind so that he could work a miracle and show that God exists. That's not what he's saying at all. What Jesus is saying here is, I'm about to show you that sickness and disease is not the will of God, but I'm about to show you what is the will of God.
Yeah.
All right, so y'all getting this? So we're all on the same page here about what Jesus is saying. He's not saying that God made him sick so he could work a miracle. He's saying, I'm going to show you what God's will is. This is not God's will, this man being born blind. It's totally contrary to the will of God. But I'm going to show you what is the will of God. So at verse 4, notice this what he says here. He says, we must work the works of him who sent me and be busy with his business. That's even to us today. We must work the works of him who sent us. Who did he send today? You and I. We are his witnesses here on the earth with the Holy Ghost as a witness with us. You are his witnesses here on the earth. We must be about our Father's business. He said, occupy till I come. Make the most of what's been given you and trust it to you. Be that good steward of what I've given you, showed you, done for you, and go out and tell the world. Don't keep it to yourself. Because you don't realize how powerful your testimony is or your witness is. Somebody in the world is always watching and observing your life, whether you want them to or don't want them to. It is just the way it is. They're looking for genuine, real people that are living for Christ. So he says right here, he says, we must work the works of him who sent me and be busy with his business while it is daylight. Hallelujah. While it's still time here on the earth that we have before Jesus raptures the church out of here. He said, night is coming on when no man can work. Then he goes in verse 5, he said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the world's light. As long as you and I are here on the earth, we're the world's light. Are you getting this? This world is dark and wanting darkness, but you and I are the lights that God is strategically placing wherever you go. That light is in you. That light is emanating from you and through you. To those around you, they're drawn to that light. Yeah. They don't even know why they might be drawn to you, but they're drawn to you. Sometimes I've had to tell them, you're drawn because there is a Jesus who loves you and cares about you. Yes. Boy, does he. Yeah. So it says right here, verse 6, and when he had said this, he spat on the ground. What? Jesus spit on the ground, Pastor? Jesus spit on the ground and made clay, mud, with his saliva. And he spread it as ointment on the man's eyes. Verse 7. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and he washed and he came back seeing. Woo! Glory to God. So Jesus also gave this man something to what? Do. Act his faith. The man could have chosen to sit right there and say, hold it, I got dirt, saliva all over my eyes, I can't see a thing. How am I going to go to the pool of Siloam? Nobody, If he knew, he said, Jesus said this, I'm gone. That's it. That's all it takes. He spoke, I'm gone. Now, the Jews had a tradition that the first male born in a family, his spit or his saliva was anointed for healing. So Jesus was proving to them that he was the Son of God. You wonder why he used spit. Well, that's why. Because the Jews had a tradition. The first male child born in a family had the healing anointing in his spit. And this ain't the only time that he spits and uses it as healing. But this is just one of the times. Think about that. Proving to all those around him, all those Jews that were so steeped in their religion, the traditions and the doctrines of men made the word of God of none effect all around them. Jesus was trying to continually break through those traditions and doctrines that were holding them in bondage. Keeping them from receiving what God was trying to get to them and understand, for them to know it, that he was the one. So when he told him to go wash, he went and he washed. So this was also a gradual healing. Gradual healing. Didn't happen instantaneously. He didn't put the spit in the dirt on his eye, and it happened right then, right there. Nope. He gave him a command so the man would, what, release his faith and do something. And as the man went and came back, he was seeing. How powerful is that? He went and he washed, and he came back seeing. Another healing that was a process. Jesus was showing them that what? Sickness and disease. This man born blind from birth was not the will of God. He says, but I'm going to show you what is the will of God. His healing. For him to see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So as you make the little notes concerning spit, you'll think twice about spit now when you see Jesus when he spits some more, and some other examples we'll eventually get to. But yeah, powerful. That would do. Oh, glory to God. So going back to what John G. Lake said, he believed that people who are gradually healed can see that they get better and better and better as they walk with God and they're walking in God, and that knowledge becomes an invaluable wealth to them. Whereas sometimes instant healings or healing miracles, because these are healing miracles. This is not the working of a miracle. This is healing miracles. They can become a hindrance. Some people get healed, go away, and they forget about God. We do not want to be one of them. And then we want to think about what Brother Hagin said. If the healing is not instantaneous and it begins at the moment we believe and release our faith, and it's a process, then we need to learn to what? keep the switch of faith turned on by believing we have received our healing and saying constantly with our mouths that I believe the healing power of God is actively at work in my body, perfecting a cure and a wholeness. Yep. You don't know how many times I have said that when different things have come against me. And I knew the direction by the Spirit of God, because like I said, just because you get healed one way one time does not mean you'll get healed that same way every single time. It's getting in your prayer closet and hearing from the Holy Ghost as to how you are to deal with this situation. Very important that you hear from the Spirit of God, because that's what's quickened to you or made real or alive to you. That's what will work for you. When I shared the last time on April the 8th about that heart murmur, and I wasn't born again, but after I got born again and got into the Word of God and found out what the Word said, and I was going back to that same doctor, and I was like, oh boy, I do not have to accept this report. So I got the Word, kept thinking, kept dwelling on it, kept speaking it until I was persuaded and said, you know what? That's a lie. I will not receive that report. I don't have to receive that report. So I began to say, I believe that healing power. I would lay my hands right over my heart. I believe the healing power is working in my heart. That murmur is gone in Jesus' name. I don't accept it. I will not accept it. 2 years. All the time. Every time the devil would try to remind me that it wasn't, I laid my hand right over here and say, oh, the healing power of God, I believe I received my healing for my heart. And yep. Believed it. 2 years stood against it. It's knowing and standing. Knowing and standing. And not being moved. We serve a God of timelessness. Yes. There is no time clock with God. Faith has no time clock. Do y'all get this?
Yes.
There is no time clock with faith. The enemy is the one that wants you to be looking at how much time is going by, how much time it takes. Get off of that. He's trying to torment you and get you looking at the wrong thing.
Yep.
You have to pull yourself back in over here and be directed on the promise of God. Yes. And what God has said. Brother Hagin gave some good examples about some gradual healings that people that came to his meetings, and when he taught the Word of God, he had a healing line at the end, and he would go and lay hands on everybody. And he said, one of the cases, a woman came with a cane. She was walking with the cane. She had arthritis really, really bad. And so when she came up, he laid hands on her. She believed she received her healing, turned around, still had the cane, still felt the pain, still had the cane, still felt the pain, and went back to her seat. She said that the service was over. She went back to the book table, still had her cane, felt no different, grabbed some books off the book table, paid for them, and she was headed out to a car. And she said she got out to her car and laid the books that she had just bought on top of the car and was fumbling in her pocketbook for the keys so she could open the door. And when she did, she noticed instantly that the pain was gone, the arthritis, and that it wasn't no more in her body. So she waited a certain amount of time. A month went by, 2 months went by, and she ends up going to another one of Brother Hagin's meetings, and she tells him, she said, it's been this amount of time. I waited 2 months, no pain return. I'm just here to testify that it works. And it was gradual. She said, I believe that I received when Brother Hagin, she said, when you laid hands on me, she said, I believed it.
Yeah.
She said, didn't feel no different, didn't look no different, still took off with the cane, went back to her seat, went back to the book, but when she got out to the car. Then there was also another woman that testified in his meetings that she came up in his healing line. He laid hands on her. She fell out under the power. Laid there, got up. This woman had had a stroke, and the stroke had affected the whole left side of her body, so she had no feeling in the left side of her arm or her leg. So she also had a crutch that helped her walk with her situation from the stroke. So he laid hands on her. She falls out on the power of God. She gets back up. No difference that she could tell, that but she believed that she received. Picked up her crutch. She also left the meetings. And she said when she got about two blocks from the meeting, she felt this warm heat fall on the top of her head and go through her whole body. And she said when she got home, she had no more side effects of a stroke in the left side of her body. She didn't need that cane anymore. Now that was gradual. That was gradual. Now I wonder if they had got up off the floor. I mean, she fell under the power. The other one didn't. But she fell under power, got up, picked up her cane and went on back to. But they both believed they received. And it was not instantaneous. It was gradual. But if they hadn't kept the switch of faith turned on, whether it was at the car when one received it, standing by the car, or the other one two blocks down the road. You see what I'm saying? We're talking about gradual, instantaneous, but we need to learn to meet the power of God either way and keep that switch of faith turned on and believe God that healing power is working in you. Let's stand to our feet. So whether it is a process, then bless God, we're not going to lose the beginning of your healing. You're going to continue to believe in God and release your faith. And we know that the supernatural swings on two hinges, which you believe with your heart, which you say with your mouth, constantly, continually. You can't say it too much. You can't overdose on this medicine. Hallelujah. No side effects, no ill effects. Praise God. All good. Life, healing, and medicine. It's life and spirit. Spiritual in meaning, but it's life-giving. Life-giving, life-sustaining, life-preserving in its effect. Never forget that. God's word is the only thing that is living power. It is alive. It is all quickening, all powerful. God's word. And it never returns unto him void. It's not void of his power, nor void of his ability, ever. Never. And it's always available to you and I. We will take hold of it, receive it, believe it, act on it. Hallelujah. He's provided for everything that we need in this life right here, right now, to live successfully as overcomers, more than conquerors. His witness is here on the earth. So that you're out there laying hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's what he wants. His body, we're the body. Every joint supplies. Every joint has a supply. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So, Father, I thank you this morning for your word, that it never returns void, and it goes out and accomplishes that for which it was purposed. It prospers where it's being sent today. Holy Spirit, I ask that you bring this word back to these people's remembrance. Quicken it to them. Make it alive in them so that they apply it and use it in their own very lives, day in and day out. And you'll get all the glory and the honor and the praise for it, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. If anybody's in here this morning and you would like to